up their doors, that she is going to be there no matter what. And can you blame a grandmother for that? Well, the answer is no. So it is good to be with you today. And so appreciate that very much. Today we're actually going to be focusing, we finished our series dealing with the seven pillars of wisdom and how that developed. And that was a wonderful series. I thoroughly enjoyed that at the request of some yesterday. I think I'm looking forward to putting this into a track form, maybe a booklet form, or even in regards to a series of tracks dealing with wisdom, and then Wisdom Built Her House, and then the Seven Pillars. And that would be a series of eight tracks. Well, for us old fogies, that might be a humorous statement, but I think I might put it into an eight track. But that is certainly one of the things that I hope to be able to do at this particular time. So with that in mind, today we're going to have a one-timer, and then Friday we'll have Open Mic Friday once again. But today's lesson is going to be entitled Sound Brethren. Now, the word sound is being utilized, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program. The word sound oftentimes is utilized in relationship to different things. For example, sometimes we use sound in relationship to noise. At times we use it in relationship to, for example, that sounds good, we might say. It's pleasant to the ears. Then we might use sound from the vantage point of deeply. That boy is sound asleep. You couldn't wake him up with a thunderbolt, you see, or a lightning bolt and a thunder clash. That's the word sound is used in relationship to deeply at that particular point. And then we use it sometimes to refer to that which is a solid surface. That's generally the way that the word sound is utilized in the Bible. It's healthy. It's something that is firm. Sound brethren is healthy brethren. It's a solid surface. In other words, it's something that is beneficial to the person. So sound is utilized in many different ways. And so I hope that we can explore the many different sound brethren that we have. And so hopefully we will find this an intriguing lesson indeed. Well, we do have a few things before we get to the lesson. We do have our beloved Brother Bonner's bonus today, if I could say that at least once. And I'm looking forward to that. He has a wonderful statement in regards to that. I like that. Unwavering is a word that we generally associate with a sound person. But the beloved Brother Bonner's bonus, I do want to make a few announcements before we get started. We have our songs. We'll have our prayer request and our prayers, or our prayer, in just a minute. And so you can start putting those, go ahead and start putting those up into the window, and we will get those taken care of. Now, what that means is, when I say window, I'm talking about the chat window. We have two chat windows that are up right now. The TGRN, the Gospel Radio Network. If you're on the internet radio, you have an opportunity with regards to a chat window to make your request known. But also the YouTube Studio Live has a chat window, and we have several of our brethren that are lined up there and our fellow Bible students. And so we want to encourage you to go ahead and put your prayer request there. You can send me a note at 405-428-2440. 405-428-2440. After that, along with that, you can make a phone call to the program in relationship to the topic of the day. Now, tomorrow, Open Mic Friday, you get to determine the direction of the program. Now, Sister Jensen has joined us. Good to have Sister Jensen from Wisconsin, and we pray that things are going well with you. Also, she says it took her forever, a long time, to be able to get in. We hope that that was not on our end, and if so, then maybe we can communicate later, or you can communicate with Miss Mona, and we can figure out what is taking so long. It could be due to the storm systems that are coming through this area from yesterday, early, or last the night before that, even all the way through today. We've had a lot of storm systems that has arisen, and my apologies. Robin lives in Washington. Christine lives in Wisconsin, and so hopefully I don't get all of those mixed up. Sometimes I do. All right, so let's see here. What do we have here? I do want to remind you of the gospel meeting that is coming up here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, with Brother Mike Bonner, our beloved brother. You're talking about a bonus, Sister Christine. We've got a bonus with regards to having him here all week, that is, at least from Sunday to Wednesday, half a week maybe, and his discussion is going to be on the eternal nature of truth. We would love to have you here in regards to that, and if you get an opportunity, let us know that you're coming our way. That is May 2nd through the 5th. May the 2nd through the 5th. So just about a month and a half away, Brother Bonner will begin his gospel meeting with us. 1 month following that, June 2nd through the 6th, will be the Men's Development Conference at the BCS Church of Christ there in College Station, Texas. And so we would love to have you go to the website at the BCS Church of Christ, and you can register for that. That will help them gather all of the, make that advanced preparation and orderly organization that we talked about with regards to the Lady Wisdom and the building of her house. All right, let's see here. If you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 in the Florence, Alabama area, we want to welcome you to the program. We're certainly grateful that you've joined us on that venue, and we want to encourage you to continue to be with us during these times of Bible study from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. But we want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their times of services. I know that they would be pleased to have you come by and be with them. All right, let's see here. I can't think of anything else that we need to get on with. So we have Hear Our Prayer song, and I see some of the prayer requests are already up there, and we certainly want to continue to pray for all of those that need our prayers.
Please come and look like us home with thee.
Take us home with thee.
Dearest God, you sent.
Dearest God, you sent.
You sent.
Dearest God, you sent.
Your Son.
Your Son.
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
There could be.
Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our most righteous and loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the beautiful blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that we do not deserve any of the good blessings that You have granted unto humanity, but we also realize that because of Thy wonderful benevolence, grace, mercy, and love, that You shed these wonderful blessings upon us. And we realize, our Heavenly Father, that without the greatest blessing of all, the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon that cruel cross at Calvary, that we would not be able to draw near unto Thee, that we would not be able to pray bring our supplications and intercessions and giving of thanks before Thee. But we pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would receive our gratitude this day for all of those fine blessings. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, for the life that You have blessed us to live, and we pray that our life might glorify Thee. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, that there are struggles and difficulties in this life. Some of them are designed to strengthen us and build us up, to make us better. And we appreciate those challenges that are set before us, and we pray that each member of the body of Christ might be able to reach those blessings or those challenges to Thy glory. We pray, our Heavenly Father, also for the difficulties of life that have been set before us by Satan, our adversary, that are designed to destroy us and defeat us and cause us great harm. But we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might be able to conquer the evil one, as Thou hast granted us the example of Thy Son and the beauty of Thy will expressed in the words of the pages of the Bible. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that You would grant us that wonderful privilege. We know that He that is within us is stronger and greater than he that is in the world. And if we stick close to Jesus, that we will be able to meet all of the challenges and all of the difficulties that have been placed before us. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that some of these we place ourselves, and we beg Thy forgiveness upon our sins and transgressions, and we pray that we might learn from them to do better and that we might not make those mistakes in the future. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that especially that as life continues and that things occur, that blessings might be bestowed just in the natural order of things. For example, we pray for Sister Jensen and her mother in the appraisal of the house. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that it might be a just and righteous appraisal, and that they might be able to take care of their mother, that their mother might be able to join them in that area. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that our children might be blessed, even our grown children, as they live their lives away from us as separate entities and families. But we pray, our Heavenly Father, as parents, that You would always and we know that You understand what parenting is all about. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, as they make decisions, that they might be able to make decisions that are good and godly and righteous decisions. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that those who do not have the ability to make sound decisions, that decisions might be made for them in order to bless their lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. We certainly... Sister Woodall mentions, and I did see that. My apologies, Sister Woodall, in regards to that prayer about that group. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that we'll continue to bless Sister Woodall there and that wonderful group. I hope that they are a strong group of Christians, or I pray that that development of you being there may be able to help them become stronger as well. Well, today we are going to get to our beloved brother Bonner's bonus for today. That may be too many B's, and then if you add beautiful to that, we're going to be tongue-tied. But today he sends me this text, and I love my encouraging words that I get from my brother. And he says, Paul said something in Romans 13:10 that should be taken to heart, a passage that almost stands alone, a passage which says a lot about God, a verse that should be the national verse for all men, a scripture to be lived by. It says, love doeth no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Think before you speak and act today. Today is all that you have. Make it a terrific Thursday. Well, I will say that our brother Bonner has made it easier to have a terrific Thursday because of the encouragement that he gives today. And with that in mind, well, we have our wonderful song, Walking on Heaven's Road, waiting on us.
Carrying such a heavy load, sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine when every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn. They're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, what a beautiful song that we have there. In regards to heaven's road and how wonderful it is that God would grant us the opportunity to be able to live according to his word, which is what it means to walk, by the way, on heaven's road. It means that we are following the principles and precepts of the Bible. And so that's exactly what we're going to do today as we talk about the beauty of and the dangers of that which is sound. Now, as I mentioned, the word sound is used in many different ways. It's used in relationship to our tongue. It's used in relationship to noise. Did you hear that sound? Somebody will say. That's how the word sound is utilized at times. Or they might say, are you sound in your health? The doctor might ask you. The word sound is utilized sometimes that way. And generally, when it's talking about our faithfulness, it's referring to our health. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul talks about those unwholesome words. That is, words that are not sound in the faith. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through there. That's what we're talking about when we talk about to sound in regards to faithfulness. You see that in Isaiah chapter 1. We used that passage a couple days ago. In Isaiah chapter 1, from the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there is no soundness in them. The word sound is utilized in the sense of health. There is no they're not healthy bodies. And spiritually, they are not healthy at all. Now, sometimes it's used, listen, this is a sound surface. So it's used in relationship to a solid surface, and something that's firm, something that you can stand upon in that particular sense. And then, as we mentioned, sometimes it is used in relationship to that which is deep. That person is sound asleep. They are in deep sleep, we might say, at that particular time. And so what we want to do today is to, I like the word ideal of steadfastness that Sister Woodall mentions, or truth is sound. And if we're going to be sound in our words, then our words must be associated with the truth. All of those are ways in which we utilize the word sound, or the word sound. The sound of the trumpet, right, is different from a sound faith. And so even the word is utilized differently. But I thought it interesting that the word is utilized. It's the same word, sound, but it's used in so many different ways in regards to that. So let's talk about the idea of sound from the vantage point of noise. Not necessarily as far as a sound trumpet or something such as that, but the noise that so often we see with regards to some that are members of the body of Christ. There are some sound brethren in the fact that they're all sound. They talk too much, right? There is the ideal of that Jesus expressed in Matthew chapter 6, right? They talk a good game, but they do not act upon that. So they're all sound. For example, listen to the words of Jesus here when he says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee." Now, sounding a trumpet means you're letting everybody know what you're about to do. I'm about to give somebody something, so I want you to know about it, right? It's the sounding of the trumpet, right? Hypocrites do that, he says, and he says they that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, if sounding the alarm or sounding the trumpet or bragging about that is all of that is about doing things to be seen of men. And if men see you, and that was your goal, guess what? That's all you're going to get, is men saw you, men glorified you. Men said, "Ooh, look at that boy over there. He does good at giving, you see. Oh, look at all those good works that he does. And all men praise thee." Well, if that's what you want, then God is certainly willing to allow that to happen. But don't think for a moment that God is going to bless you in that endeavor. He's not. Now, when thou prayest, right? Verse number 5. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, that love to pray standing in the synagogue in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. You see? Now, there's nothing wrong with doing your alms where people see it. There's nothing wrong with praying in public. There's nothing wrong with fasting, and there's nothing wrong with anybody knowing that you are fasting. But the whole point is, am I doing it to be seen of men? And if so, if it's hypocrisy, then God says that's all you're going to get. Don't expect anything from me. Don't expect blessings to come from that. And so motivation is important in this. But notice the sound, right? The sounding of the trumpet, the standing on the street corners, or the disfiguring of the face. Oftentimes that they may appear unto men to fast. And so the appearance is there, the sound is there, but there's no blessings eternally and spiritually that are associated with that. That's a sound that is an unfaithful sound, right? And so Jesus identifies that particular sound as something that God does not want to hear, right? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and notice with me, beginning in verse number 1, where he says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure," now notice this, "sound doctrine." Now, it's not sound doctrine that I want to focus on. I'll get to that later. But I want you to notice here. "But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." The ears is a receptacle to what? Noise, sound, right? "And they shall turn away their ears from hearing the truth," or from the truth, "and they shall be turned unto fables." And so he warns Timothy to be careful of those, excuse me, who would have itching ears, who only want to hear what they want to hear, and will stop anything else from the truth. Now, yesterday, I believe it was, we mentioned, I think it was yesterday, we mentioned Acts chapter 7, and we mentioned the story of Stephen, or the event surrounding there and the scheme of redemption. And we noticed that when Stephen preached that glorious, wonderful, and they were unresponsive to it, that he would accuse them of being stiff-necked and uncircumcised. And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, they gnashed on him with their teeth, and being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and did what? They stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They cast him out, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their feet at a young man whose name was Saul. But notice here, they did not want to hear. They stopped their ears from hearing. Years ago, this my children used to say, you know, in that age group, they had a little saying, they would say, talk to the hand, because the mind ain't listening. Right? Well, that's the way a lot of people are today. They might not say that, but they certainly believe that. They do not want to hear what people have to say. And so, I don't want to hear that. And by the way, are people, they were talking, they cried out with a loud voice. They were talking, they were speaking, but they didn't want to listen, you see. They were all sound. There was just a bunch of noise with them in regards to that. Now turn with me, and I think Sister Woodall may have been referencing this verse when she made note of, what was the word she utilized earlier? Gonging, I think, was her terminology. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the beauty of love. But in that it says there are three things that he mentions right off the bat that love must incorporate. That, what you say, what you have, and what you do are important. But notice here, he says, though I speak, this is what you say, though I speak with the tongues of men and with angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. A gong, nothing more than a noisemaker. Kind of like a Sister Woodall. I know you have that boy there with you as that grandson. And every now and then, he probably, like our kids did and our grandkids do, they like to beat. You know, one of the greatest toys that our children and grandchildren have were not expensive at all from the vantage point of having to buy them. You get those pans, those pots and pans out from underneath that cabinet, and you give them a couple of those wooden spoons, and they bam, 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 bam. But it's not. Listen, a drummer, and I've listened to some drum solos in my lifetime, and it is an amazing thing when you hear a person who can put the noise together so that it makes sense to the ear. But then there are some that's just banging and banging and banging, and I remember, put those things up, you know, I'm tired of hearing that banging, right? Preaching without charity. Teaching someone, talking to somebody about the truth without charity is of no value to them at all. It comes across like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just noise, in other words. And so it's all sound, right? It's too much sound, and it doesn't have that love in it. Growing up in Oklahoma, I learned to appreciate, Sister Woodall, that Native American drumming with regards to that. I've attended many of meetings in which the drum beat was encouraged, and the beauty of that. You are exactly correct. But sometimes when it's just noise, it irritates, you see. And we have to be careful that we are not just an irritation on the ears of people, that we have something that goes beyond that. Now, there are more things, by the way, that is just about talk. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and notice here, with me in verse number 13. And this, by the way, is in relationship to the younger widow and the idleness that can characterize her if she's not careful. And it says, withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle. Notice, he says, the danger is not just idleness. Idleness is one thing. But idleness can breed difficulties and further contempt and wickedness in a person's life. Notice, sometimes when you're idle, you can begin to evil surmise about other people. And so you can begin to engage in, the King James says, tattlers, also busybodies. Well, what do tattlers and busybodies do? It says, speaking things which they ought not. And so too much talk, right? Too much talk in regards to the tattlers in regards to this, as well as the busybodies. It's not just busybodies as in individuals, but it's actually talking bad about somebody. And so the ideal is that they become tattlers. Now, tattlers really doesn't have anything to do with the truth of something, but something can be true and spread where it doesn't need to spread. Not everybody really needs to know every detail about everybody's life. And not only that, you think about the beauty of that. I like what Sister Sainer says. Yeah, you take just the opposite of that, that drum noise in your head, and you take a drum line where everybody is synchronized, where everybody is in unity. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And the same does go. That is true. The same does go for New Testament Christians. When we are walking in harmony with the Bible, not just with one another, but with the Bible. Can two walk together except they be agreed, right? And so if I agree with God and you agree with God, we're walking together, right? But we're walking together with God, and that's the beauty of the situation. But that is a beautiful sound, right? It is an amazing sound of unity in regards to that. But now you take somebody that's off in that drum line, and they're not walking, they're walking out of harmony. Everybody else in the drum line is turning left, and they're doing a particular beat, and then somebody else turns right and they're doing just the opposite, that which there's not unity involved in that. And by the way, the tattler, the busybody, those speaking things which they ought not, those are individuals that destroy the unity of that beautiful drum line, don't they? And but more than just that, boasters, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, and notice with me verse number 2. It says there are men who shall be lovers of their own selves. That's always a dangerous start, isn't it? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They are without natural affection, right? But by the way, they're truce breakers. They speak one thing, and they fail to follow through with that. They're false accusers. That would be another term for they talk too much. That is, or they have the wrong talk, right? And they're despisers of all of those that are good. And they generally tell about that wickedness that they have toward other people. And so tattlers and boasters are individuals. But then there are, you take, for example, in Matthew chapter 23, and the manner in which Jesus describes the Pharisees and the scribes, it is a horrific scene. You can imagine, listen to what he says here. He says, all therefore that they bid you observe, they that observe and do, but they do not ye after their works. They say and do not. Too much talk, not enough action, in other words. Then he goes on to talk about some of their works and the fact that they would even go and go into widow's house, and they would destroy widow's houses and devour them. Verse number 14, he says, "Where you devour widow's houses for a pretense, you make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive greater damnation." That is for pretense. Notice that. That's what we're talking about when we talk about individuals who are sayers but not doers. They can talk a good game, but they rarely practice a good game. Well, there are swearers, those who their yea is not yea, their nay is not nay, right? Those who are liars, those who deceive people, as Ananias and Sapphira did in Acts chapter 5. They are, their talk is not a good talk, right? Their sound is unsound, right? Their noise is not healthy, in other words. So that kind of noise, that kind of soundness is not good. But now turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 13. My wonderful compadre, Brother Bonner, made reference in his encouraging note of Romans chapter 13. I want you to notice with me in verse number 11 now. There it says, "And that knowing the time that is now, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." We ought to wake up out of sleep. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 34, the Bible would say, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some," he says, "have not the knowledge of God." Notice the noise of the Apostle Paul. He says, "I speak this to your shame." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and notice with me verse number 30. He says, "For this cause many are weak, sickly, and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, sleep sometimes is just used in relationship to illustrate death. The body sleeps, not the soul, by the way, but the body sleeps. But here he's talking about a spiritual slumbering. They are spiritually weak. They are spiritually sick. They are spiritually asleep. And these sometimes people are sound asleep, right? And you couldn't wake them if you tried. You could take that clanging cymbal and that tinkling cymbal and that banging brass, and you could not wake them, you see, and because they are sound asleep. You know, the Apostle Paul uses this illustration in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 concerning New Testament Christians. In chapter 5, notice with me in verse number 6, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do." Now, he's not saying don't ever take a nap. He's not ever saying don't take 6, 7, whatever hours you sleep. Don't ever sleep. He says here, though, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." And so that spiritual slumber is, and by the way, it's interesting that the old monks used to talk about the devil at the noonday. And what they meant by that was, after you had worked a long morning and you stop and you might have lunch and you're setting up underneath a shade tree, and you know, after you have lunch, you get a little sluggish, and so you might lean back against that tree in the shade, and it's a cool breeze that's coming over You're sitting there and your eyes begin to slumber and you begin to sleep. That's called the devil of the noonday. And the slumbering and sleeping don't take too long of a nap. I have to be careful with that because I can take a long nap. Sister Saint, I won't mention the person, but when I was there in Ardmore at the Central Church of Christ, I taught a class to the high school students, and I remember one of the high school students was studying Proverbs, and we happened to be studying about this particular topic, and she come in, and we were talking, I was getting them ready, we were talking about sleep, and she said, "Oh, I just love sleep." And I said, "Be careful with that, because the Bible says, love not sleep." And there are times in which there are unsound sounds that come from a child of God. And these things ought not to be so. We should never be engaged in these items that involve us in unsound noise. If you turn with me to Titus chapter 1, and verse number 13, now he encourages individuals whose mouths, the elders, that they should stop the mouths of individuals who, he says, subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to teach for the filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, says that the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. But now notice this. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be what? Sound in the faith. The word sound in the faith means that they are faithful. That means that they are walking according to the precepts of the Bible. And so they are sound in faith. James chapter 1 and verse number 22, notice it says, "But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So here is a sound practice, right? This is what we were talking about earlier. You don't want to have that sound just of noise, of hypocrisy. Don't just say and do. Say and do not. Say and do, right? That's the MO of the Christian is say and do. I'm going to say the truth, but I'm also going to practice the truth regards to that as well. And so it becomes very important that we pay attention to what God says in that regards. Romans chapter 10, notice with me in verse number 18. We, of course, remember verse number 17, right? "So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have not ye heard? Yes, verily, the sound, their sound, went out into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world." Now, what sound? The sound of the gospel. The sound of them obeying the gospel. That sound needs to go forth throughout all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The sound of disobedience should never go forth from the child of God. But we need to sound out the word of God to all of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, I told you we'd get back to that before we closed. Here Paul talks about enduring sound doctrine. Remember, there were some individuals that did not want to endure sound doctrine, but Timothy needs to preach it whether they endure it or not. So he says they shall turn their ears from the truth. He said they will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. And so, Timothy, what do you do knowing that? You have information here. Now, what are you going to do based upon that information? Well, here's the program that Paul set up. Preach the word. See, that's That's the project that we ought to invest in as preachers. Some people will not accept the truth. So should we modify the truth? Maybe the truth needs to be toned down just a little bit. I mean, that can't be wrong, just to tone. This is one of the points that we make early in our program, in the introduction, that this is a study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. In other words, we make no apologies for what God said or how God chose to say it. God's words belong to Him, not us. It's presumptuous of us to put words or to heighten or mild the words of God in some way. If you do, now you think about this. You got a hot sauce. I love hot sauce. I love hot things. But if you take hot sauce and you put some sour cream in it, you will, first of all, you are adulterating that hot sauce. In other words, you're mixing it with something else. And you're trying to get the heat level down, so you mix it with something that will absorb it and carry it out. And so you mix that. Now, I like a little sour cream in my hot sauce, not to mild the hot sauce down, but I like the creamy nature of it. Some people like it because it tones down the heat. And there are a lot of people that like to tone down the heat of God's Word. So, you know, Stephen didn't do that very well. Well, they say, well, they killed him. Look at how that turned out. Yeah, look at how it turned out. Jesus stood up in no doubt praise and adoration for the man that stood firm for his word. Are we accusing Stephen of being wicked or in some way not being righteous with God because of this? No, look what happened. He was able to glorify God by giving his life. Now, the problem is some people just don't want to engage in that behavior. But here we must preach the truth. Now, that means, what does that mean? It means here's the further dichotomy of that. We need to be instant, in season and out of season. That is, we preach it when you like it and when you don't like it. That's what a preacher does. I may not like what I hear, but if I am of honest heart, of humble heart, of meekness of mind, then I will obey even though I might, oh, that hurt. It cut to the heart. It hurt. And because of the hurt, it initiates an obedience to the gospel. But sometimes it does not. So you exhort them, or you reprove, you rebuke, and you exhort with all long suffering. Suffer long with people, but do it with rebuke. Suffer long with people, but do it with reproof. Suffer long with people, but do it with exhorting, and do it with doctrine. Teach them. Don't just let them linger. Teach them. And so that's the M.O. of that kind of situation. Now then, 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 13 tells us all to hold to the pattern of sound words. So in 2 Timothy he says, hold fast the pattern or the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You cannot, listen, if you're not preaching the Bible, then you're not preaching sound words. If you're not living according to the Bible, then I don't care what that preacher said. I don't care what that psychologist said. I don't care what the government says. If you're not living according to the Bible, then you're not in Christ. You see, in Christ means in association with His words, with His noise, with His sound, because by these words I will be judged. And so, my friends, there are a lot of sound things that are out there. And the word sound in relationship to noise, in relationship to something that is solid, a solid surface, or maybe deeply invested in something, maybe just sound asleep. Oh, I hope and I pray that you're not sound asleep, that you're not making noises just to make noises, and you're not making improper noises, but that you would be obedient to the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and thus be a sound, healthy individual in the faith. God bless, my friends, and have a wonderful day.